The next case is 98-526, State of Ohio v. Donald Pierce.
Shouldn't the officer have concrete information before he goes and does a search of a person, justifying it by a warrant out for his arrest. Wouldn't that give him probable cause to go and arrest the person, search him? Would it?
Yes, if it wasn't an arrest warrant, Your
Honor. Well, that's my point. I don't see why the officer would act on a possible warrant the same as he would act on a warrant. And isn't it very important that the officer have information that was reliable rather than just acting on a possible warrant? And then another thing I don't understand, and maybe you can tell me, how do you know that the defendant heard this communication?
The police officer testified that the defendant heard the communication.
Well, how does he know?
And then
y'all
told him that that's all.
Well, I understand.
The communication that y'all told the defendant there was a possible warrant to arrest.
Well, did he hear the communication, the defendant, and how was that shown by the evidence? I'm talking about coercion. This man hears over the radio there's an arrest warrant out for his arrest. All right, well, say it's an arrest warrant, you know, and he hears this, then that's a different type of activity he's going to enter into than if he doesn't hear it, correct? Well, I think there is. I think that the coercion factor is present here, and I think that what information the two parties had before they acted is important.
I think it's very important, the information that they had before the defendant gave consent. In this case, the defendant tried to characterize it as misinformed consent because throughout the reason does refer to it as an arrest warrant rather than a possible arrest warrant. The distinction, I think, is very important. And just a person knowing that there is a possible arrest warrant, that single factor is not enough to rise to the level of coercive consent. Because when you're looking at consent, you're looking at the totality of the circumstances. And in this case, the totality of the circumstances is that we have the defendant on a public street.
Well, I think it would go to the knowledge of the defendant saying there's an arrest warrant out for him. He's going to search me anyhow. I might as well say it's okay. Maybe then he won't search me because I don't know how people think, but I think it would affect his activity whether or not he heard that.
The
defendant was not known to Cobb, was he?
I'm sorry?
The defendant was not known to Cobb?
No.
He knew the person that was with him.
He knew Mama Goss, the person who was with him through prior arrests for drug trafficking and drug abuse. They were in a high crime area known also for drug abuse and drug trafficking convictions and prostitution. Officer Cobb had worked as an officer for 15 years. He was in this meeting for 9 years. When he first met the two individuals, the defendant and Ronald Johnson, they both had money in their hands. He decided to investigate further. When he did so, he walked up to them, said hi, what's going on, asked both for ID, ran the warrant check. Before and after the warrant check, the defendant kept putting his hands in and out of his pocket. Neither the defendant nor Ronald Johnson would offer an explanation to why they had money out. Not that they were required to do so, but that's just another factor. They wouldn't explain the money. They kept putting their hands in and out of their pocket. The reasonable articulable suspicion. But all of those factors taken together under this court's case law, Stacey Bobo and Stacey Freeman and Stacey Williams and Stacey Andrews, certainly is enough. And if I could just get back to the possible rest point, at that point there's no evidence that the defendant had been detained for any unduly length of time. He knew about the possible arrest warrant, but he kept his hand in and out of the pocket. So the officer said, is there anything you have that I can know about? I suspect that there's a narcotic transaction here, and would you mind if I just search your pocket? And the defendant replied, yeah, sure, go ahead. No hesitation. The officer never said, if you don't give me consent, I'm going to get a warrant. The doctor never claimed he could do that. The possible arrest warrant, Your Honor, I just don't think that that's enough to say that the defendant then never presumed authority.
If he had said no to the officer, would the officer have had enough probable cause to search him anyhow?
That's not at that point, Your Honor. But we had the point with reasonable articulable suspicion, which is much less than the standard for probable cause, and even much less than proving wrongdoing by prior to the evidence.
So it becomes more important to determine whether or not the yes, go ahead and search me is voluntarily made.
I think it's very important to determine that, and I think the trial court did that after listening to Officer Powell's testimony, that under the facts of this case, given the fact that they're outside on the public street, and I imagine Officer Powell's demeanor and the way he testified and the way he described his defendant's reaction, and the totality of the circumstances, the trial court said, you know, there is actually no evidence on this record of coercion or that the defendant's will was overborne. The Court of Appeals merely said, you know what, because he knew what the police officer thought was going on, because he knew there was a possible arrest warrant, just so facto, this person cannot give voluntary consent. That's just not supported in the case law, and it just doesn't recognize the totality of the circumstances test. And again, the reason I big problem I thought with this case is that the Court of Appeals typically relied on this court's decision in Stacey Robinette in reaching that decision, which doesn't support it. And probably North Carolina doesn't support the decision because the police officer did not claim that he had no arrest warrant. And then later tried to say, well, the defendant gave voluntary consent. And the police officer didn't keep the person at their car. And when the person initially refused, he asked, can I search the car? Well, I think they didn't arrest warrant. You know, you want me to. And then the defendant says, okay, go ahead, search my car.
And all these search cases pretty factually driven?
I'll give you the case, Your Honor, very much.
Is it your allegation, maybe following up on what Justice Stratton was asking, you just think the Court of Appeals made an error?
Yes, I do, Your Honor.
Is that a matter of great general interest or public interest or a substantial constitutional question in one search case?
I think so, Your Honor, only because I think that it just signals in Franklin County the Court of Appeals continuing to rely incorrectly on Stacey Robinette, which is a huge decision, which is very important. And if that can be misinterpreted and misapplied at the Court of Appeals level, I think that is very important. Because you certainly see the cases do come up a lot. And we need guidance, we need proper guidance. And for the end, the Franklin County Court of Appeals, I looked at some other cases, but it seems that other Court of Appeals
Court of Appeals corrections all these I thought Bumper didn't really support your case here.
Bumper is very similar fashion. The difference is this. When a police officer goes to a home and claims he has a search warrant and asks to be careful to search your home, it's just a formality. The consent is not voluntary, so he knows everything.
Yeah.
Right,
right.
Now, when a police officer indicates to a person on the street that there, he has a warrant for his arrest, he might be arrested. That is the same thing. It's very similar to now if you have a search warrant. So when you arrest a person, you're telling this person, I'm going to arrest you, and along with that, I have a right to search you.
Is there a distinction here? I mean, again, this is terribly factually driven, but is there a distinction here where it, you stay put because we're checking to see if there's any warrants? Is that the same as Bumper's?
No, the distinction here, that's not factual. The fact in this case is really clear. The officer, I suspect he had a handheld radio. But the officer said it's been heard from transmission to broadcast in the case of warrants.
Yeah.
And if not only did the defendant have an opportunity to hear on the radio, he told him to come. And
told him that what?
That there was a warrant for his going on.
No. Was that it?
Well, it is,
is there a difference?
A possible warrant for that.
We need to check? Yeah.
Now, the officer at that time testified that as soon as he heard that information about the warrant, that basically, they just seen in the transcript that he was most definitely under arrest, and when I found out that he was free to leave, the prosecutor, transcript 31, said he admitted the defendant's not free to leave after the information about the warrant.
But we know that cases permit even after seizure.
Pardon?
Even after seizure, which you're saying he was seized by at that point.
Yes.
But we're now talking about the search, isn't it? I mean, there is case law that's against you in terms of there can be a consensual search after seizure. Okay.
Those cases are when a person is arrested or in custody, and they say, can we go search your house? And then search your house.
Mm-hmm.
In those cases, they say there's a difference. You can consent, even though it's just in an apparent or surrounding and it's still belong there. But where a police officer informs somebody that they're under arrest, and if that person does not
commit,
he starts resisting arrest, the instruction basis, misdemeanor, crime
basis.
If you resist, of course, it can be up to 6 months, and if the officer is bombed for in a double, when a police officer tells you or indicates to you that you're under arrest, that's the same as telling you I have a right to search. And if the defendant said no or in any other way refused, that's the reason the defendant himself is criminal liability. That's the difference.
So in this case, we don't have the defendant. I guess you want to equate his hearing on the radio that we're checking for a warrant as saying you're under arrest. Is that a distinction? Yeah.
Without compromise, they have a heavy burden, and they're relying upon that search. they have to show that it's not lawful. And they don't meet that burden when the record indicates that a person was informed of possible arrest.
Is it where the state has the facts that say that the officer asked, can I search? And the defendant says, in this case, yeah, sure. I mean, has the state, in terms of burdens, does the state, is there a shifting burden here? Does the state meet its burden by saying, may I? And the defendant says, yes. And then the defendant, I mean, is that, or should we look at it? It's just totality of the circumstances.
It's not that. The state's burden is just not met by their submission of just authority. There's nothing more than submission of authority that they'll have to show them voluntary. They got to show a little more. Here they can. Here they have a situation where clearly the defendant was not reasonable. He was being detained. And the indication was that the officer communicated. I mean, that's a little more.
Impliedly.
Well, I think this is a case where I wouldn't use the absolute answer to comply with the people's total coerced, because when you're communicating to somebody under arrest, you're telling them that it was not in time later say it's voluntary, and you remove that from them. You said, hey, if you do this in the search of your person, you go to jail.
Let me get back to my question. Is impliedly coerced the same as coerced?
Well, it's a different degree of coercion.
Less or more?
Well, I think impliedly means that there was no express but under the underlying circumstances.
Doesn't it mean it seems like?
Yes.
It seems like he was coerced. Is that enough?
Burden that the defendant knowingly voluntarily consented. taken into the jail and further searched, my client or brother was used in a shoe or something. The person gets charged with the drug abuse and also knowing conveying in good attention. So he was considered a disagreed felon. And so what was his? The prosecutor claimed that, well, he knew he had it, he knew he was making a mistake. So he had a burden of telling someone that he had it. So the law is very coercive in this respect, even not the right of police officers to search inside. If you don't tell them you've got contraband, you're going to be subjected to new charges, and they just find them and go into the jail today. So you can, under these circumstances, when a person is led to leave under arrest, you can't find the death sentence, knowing the voluntary forgiveness. In addition to that, both the trial court and the court of appeals concluded that the detention, that there was a detention, the initial copying of the act of constituted detention, which was then given. They said it was wrong. We've argued that that conclusion is wrong. The reason is wrong because there was not enough particular reason for conviction of this criminal activity taking place. Because changing the amount of reason for the money to be involved is not evidence of the system.
Appealed this case, have you, counsel? I mean, the Court of Appeals found against your client on the seizure issue.
Reviewing court can always is free to conclude that lower courts made the right decision. We have to look at all the laws and
the facts. Yeah, so you would want to say that that's so intertwined with the consent?
Really not an issue unless you're going to find that there is consent. If you find that there is consent, then you have to look at the initial stopping to see if this is lawful. If it was not lawful, then the consent screws the court in the tree. Even if the initial stopping was lawful, you have to make a legal determination about whether the issue is.
So I think you had to raise that with Dr. Johnson.
Pardon?
I think you had to appeal that.
Well, one time where one issue, I mean, it was a legal issue, and the court has to look at the law. I mean, you got one set of facts, one conclusion by the trial court, and this court, when it looked at the law, it has to look at the legality of the court's ruling. This court finds that the court of appeal may be right to say, but for the wrong legal reasons, then the court is free to appeal to the appeal with the correct rule. If there are no further questions, then we'll do my argument. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Keeley. Ms. Leslie, you saved about a minute and a half of your time.
Probably cause search defendant, and that's why the advocate was sent. The issue of implied coercion versus express coercion, the Court of Appeals found implied coercion. The thing he's proven here is express or implied. And I would imagine that with an express coercion question that it would be much easier to determine a threat.
I was going to bring this case in on the merits also, and I'm frankly wondering what the legal issue here is to be decided, how we can help the bench and the bar in these cases any further than we've already attempted to do by a number of cases on the Fourth Amendment. I guess you mentioned that the opinion of the Tenth District is one that shouldn't stand, that it's sort of out of sync with Robinette. I'm trying to determine what you mean by that. It seems to me that the Court of Appeals is simply saw it quite differently than the trial court did. And that wouldn't seem to me to be any great danger to the law. What do you mean specifically?
The reason I feel the same was because of the Court of Appeals expressing my own basis of stating about that. And I guess in your mind, their failure to acknowledge the difference in the circumstances or were they dealing with a legal defendant versus an illegal. They just want quoted that this was the exact same legal question, and that under these circumstances, he knew that he was going to search, he knew about the novel reference, he knew why the police officer was talking to him. That this is a matter of law, those are two things. No matter what the trial court found, the defendant cannot give voluntary consent, and we're relying on the state government to come up with that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of opinion.